Well, I have missed you. Yeah, that's what I was waiting on. I was hoping you missed me. I've missed you. So Steve told everybody I was at Boy Scout camp, staying in a tent for a week. And I lost 7 pounds. And I'm working hard to gain it back, you know. And I thought that was tough staying in a tent, but the last two nights I've been in Breathitt County, up on the side of a mountain, and preaching for a camp that's there. And I'm walking around, and the guy's telling me, don't walk anywhere in the taller grass. And I said, why? He goes, because this place is filled with rattlesnakes and copperheads. And I said, I will not get on the tall grass. You will not have to worry about that. But anyway, I got a little freaked out because I was thinking, man, the tent was rough. So the cabin I stayed in has got holes in the ceiling, holes in the walls. And this, I'm just going to share this. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but it's great. And so I was sitting in a little chair in my cabin, and I'm reading a book called Pastoring Men. And the book is about what it really means to be a man. And I'm reading this book. I'm like, yeah, that's right. And all of a sudden, this little mouse goes flying by. And I said, ah! And I'm up on this chair that rocks, wondering if I'm really a man. So I come to my senses, and I sit down, start reading my book again, and then it dawns on me. What was the mouse running from? And so they gave me one blanket because I didn't read the instructions of everything I was supposed to take. And they gave me a blanket. I'm going to tell you, you could have called me mummy that night. I wrapped up as tight as I could. And so it was a great week. 23 children came to know Jesus. It was just a powerful week. And just with everything that was going on, I refused to be away for another Wednesday night, and so they got another guy preaching tonight and tomorrow night, so I wanted to be here, and I'm excited about the message tonight, and I'm asking you to pray with me. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for how you bless our lives, for how you pull us through the tough things that come our way in life, and how you're always using every moment to grow us to be more like you. So Lord, be glorified tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, this is awesome. In the beginning, y'all know this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be. Oh, that was weak. Hang on. And God said, let there be
light.
And there was light. There was light. I want you to think about this God. A God who says, let there be light, and there's light. A God who said, let there be planets, and there was planets. A God who said, let there be animals, and there are animals. I mean, this is a God we serve. Think about this. A God who drops the ocean right where he wants it. And then listen to this. Tells it when to stop. Isn't that incredible? God does that. I mean, you know, I had a kid try to tell me, well, actually, the ocean stops because of the moon and the way the tides are. I said, yeah, but since God put the moon there, I give God the credit for stopping the oceans where he wanted them to stop. This is God. Now, listen, this is what I have to share with you that's so exciting, because then there came this day when God said, let there be you. Everybody get that? Everybody say that with me. Let there be. Okay, see, you weren't listening. Because if I said you, then you're supposed to say,
me.
Not me, but you know, you. And God said, let there be you. And God created you. Now, here's the thing. So I'm at this camp with 60 kids, I mean, that have nothing. I mean, nothing. This week in these kids' lives is a highlight of their lives, is coming to that camp for that week. And I spent the time with these kids. And this is a sermon. This is one of the sermons that I preached to them. That God created you. He has a plan for your life. And this God who created the universe is the God who created you. You know, and I told these kids, I said, you know, there are no accidents. You know, God didn't have this like people machine where he was making people. Ever remember the Dunkin' Donuts commercial, the old commercial? The guy got up and says, time to make the donuts. I said, you know, God didn't get up and say, time to make the people, you know, and then he got busy over here like Lucille Ball, right? And people are just falling off, you know. Nobody's here by accident. None of you are here by accident. Every one of you have the fingerprints of God on you because he created you. Now, this isn't what we're preaching out of Genesis tonight. We're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. But I wanted to build into Jeremiah 29 for you to know that God has created you. Now, you know, I was preaching to those kids, and these kids, you know, most of these kids, you can't even imagine what some of these kids go through. I remember the cutest little kid. And I was talking to him, and every time I talked to him, he was looking way up. And I'm not tall. I know you probably haven't figured that out, but you know, he was looking up, and the deal was, he's got something wrong with his eyes and has no glasses. And I asked the guy, I said, man, there's all kinds of programs and assistance to help to get that kid some glasses. He said, yep, but that kid can't drive to that place by himself and get them. That kid doesn't have anybody that even cares enough to take him, so that he can have glasses, so that he can see. And I talked to this kid, and I said, so where do you live? And he said, I live with my granny. He said, my mom is in jail because she shot somebody, and my daddy's dead. And he just said it. I mean, he's 10 years old and just said it. So matter of fact that, you know, this is life. And as I was preaching this message that God created you, you know, it dawned on me that all of us, you know, maybe our circumstances weren't like this kid's, but all of us have these circumstances and these situations in our lives that the enemy attempts to use to make us think that God doesn't care. To make us think that maybe you've done something really bad. You may have done something really bad. No, I mean really bad. Come on, you guys, your hands need to be up. Okay, all right, so, and the enemy will use those mistakes, those failures, those weaknesses in our lives to make us think that God doesn't care. But the truth of God's word is that he's created you and he does care. Now, I want to read from you from Jeremiah 29. Does anybody know the most famous verse in Jeremiah 29? What? Yeah, who asked you to come tonight? Jeremiah 29:11. It's my all-time favorite verse. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. How awesome does that sound? All right, three of you are really excited about it. So that's good. Why don't you three move to the front? Now, but here's the deal. A few years ago, I thought I was going to preach on Jeremiah 29:11. I thought, I want to know what's really going on in Jeremiah 29. Why did the prophet write this? Why did God have these words penned? And it's pretty extraordinary. So I'm going to start in Jeremiah 29, verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Can anybody name me three of those exiles? Three of those Hebrews that God, that Nebuchadnezzar took? Anybody? Not you, Will. Somebody else? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that? Remember they were in captivity? Anybody name one other one real famous? Daniel. Remember Daniel? So they were taken. They were in exile. And so Jeremiah is writing to them. Because imagine what's happening here. You ever just go through something tough and somebody tells you, hey, it's going to be okay. You're not going to go through this long. I mean, that's my favorite thing to tell people when they're going through hard times. Because if I can tell them, you're not going to go through this long, they'll think I'm a wonderful pastor. Right? Oh, this is going to be over soon. And they're like, you think so? And I'm like, yeah. You know, I walk away. I'm like, I don't know. You know, and so this letter is being written. Skip with me to verse 4. This is the prophet. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Did you notice something there? Let me read it again. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. We want to blame Nebuchadnezzar, don't we? We don't want to make him out to be some horrible guy, which he was, all right? But God is saying that what has happened here, I have allowed to happen. Nebuchadnezzar didn't take you into exile. I took you into exile. Now, that's the first thing that kind of pops out, because then it makes verse 11 kind of confusing. All right, what's happening here? Well, the reason I started with Genesis, because I want you to know that God is completely in control. Now, I want to be very, very honest with you tonight, because I don't want to come across like God's completely in control and I have no questions about God's doing, because that would be a lie to you. And I'm not preaching this message because I've come to terms with all the difficult things in my life and I've just joyfully accept them as God's will. I'm not preaching that way to you. Does everybody with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying I believe God is completely in control, even though it feels in some areas of my life contradictory to what's going on. But I know this thing. I know that God is trustworthy. I know that I can trust him. I know that he loves me. I don't know why this other stuff's going on, but I know God loves me and I know that I can trust him. And I can't make it all fit mathematically, right? If it was 2 + 2 = 4, we wouldn't need faith. We just need a brain, right? Because not everything adds up like that. So before you wonder if I'm trying to encourage you or discourage you, I want you to know, I know this thing, that God is in control, that God is all powerful, and I know God loves me, and I know that I can trust him. I know those things. Listen to what he says. I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, and this is what he says to them. He's a bad pastor, right? He says in verse 5, build houses and settle down. Now, where are they? They are in captivity, right? So they're not like living the high life. They're in captivity. They've been taken from their homes, their friends, their families, what they love, what they know. They've been taken from those things, and there they are. And this is what the prophet says to them. Build houses and settle down. I would be more encouraged if the prophet said, just pitch a tent, make a shelter for the night, because all this will be over tomorrow. But that's not what he says, is it? He says, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. And then he says this is crazy. He says, Mary. No, but they're not a, there wasn't a flinch at that. All of you are like, yes, Mary. Mary. And have sons and daughters. Are you getting a picture they're going to be here a little while? Now you want to get a picture that they're going to be here a long while? Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage. Now, if he's saying that to me, I've got an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 5-year-old, right? And they're getting married next week if that's the deal, right? We get out of here? Okay, go on. Get out of here. All right? Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Pastor Steve said, I have done that well. Also, now here, listen to this. This is what we've got to grasp tonight, church. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper too. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. They're going to be there a while. Here's my encouragement. We're all going to face those times in life that are tough. And it is an easy thing to say, I believe that God's in control. I believe that God's powerful enough to get me out of this. But it begins to get difficult when you're in that place for a while. And you begin to wonder, at least I do, when I'm in that place for a while, God, what is up? Where are you, God? I mean, I've been here a while. But the prophet is telling him, listen, you're in captivity and you're going to be here a while. You're going to be here long enough to see your grandchildren get married. You're going to be here a while. But we know that God is in control. So we know that one of the things that's going to happen in this place is that God is going to use this place to make these people more like his son Jesus. And that's what God does. It is so incredible. then in the deepest, darkest places of our lives, He will use those moments to make us more like Jesus. Now think about this. If you are currently in that deep, dark place, then it's possible that you may not be very encouraged right at this moment. But let me ask you this, and I want everybody to look around. I want you to respond. If you can think back to a deep, dark place, all of you, if you can think back to a deep, dark place, how many of you can look back at that season, that moment of your life, and see that God brought some of the most wonderful things out of that season? Raise your hand. Now keep your hand up for a minute. I want everybody to look around. So you can't leave here saying, I'm a liar. You're going to have to leave here saying, we're all lying. Okay? Now, here's the deal. You can put your hands down. In those deepest, darkest places, those are the times when God speaks so intimately to us. That God molds us and shapes us. I mean, let's face it. Those are the moments when you get to that place and you say, man, I can't even take another step. Those are the moments when we are prepared to allow God to do what He wants to do in our lives. But in the meantime, listen. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. What else happens in those deep, dark moments? In those deep, dark moments, voices start speaking to you. What I told these kids at this camp, because you heard it over and over again, about the drugs and about the murder. You hear all this stuff. And I told these kids, you know what? Some people have told you, I know who your daddy is and you're never going to amount to nothing. I know who your mama is and I know what she's done and you're just like her. You're never going to amount to nothing. And those are the lies that the enemy wants to speak to us. Some of us here, we hear those same lies in our life. We hear the enemy saying, you know what? Maybe all the church doesn't know what you did or what you're doing. But God knows and He's done with you. God's done with you. And we hear those lies. Some of the other lies we hear is that God's not in control. Man, things just happen and it's really bad and God's just up there holding His hands up in the air saying, man, I wish that hadn't happened. And that's a lie that we want to start to believe because it's strangely comforting in some moments. Well, okay, God's not in control. But if God's not in control, what hope do any of us have? God is in control. That makes me rest assured even in the deepest, darkest places that guess what? I've not been abandoned. That God is there. And He knows what's going on. He knows the way out. And if I'll listen to Him, if I'll follow Him, I will make it out. But maybe not in the timing that I want. Because I can't imagine that the Israelites are super encouraged by this. I can't imagine that the Israelites got all excited about the message of the prophet. It seems discouraging. What do you mean we're going to be here a while? What do you mean our grandkids, who we don't even have yet, are going to get married? I mean, we don't want to be here this long. And He tells them, don't listen to the lies. And then He says this, verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Babylon. You may have heard of Babylon. How many of you heard of Babylon 5? That's the show. Okay, that's not Babylon. Babylon. You guys are laughing. You all watch Babylon 5? Babylon. Let me tell you about Babylon. Babylon was a place where they had gods that they worshiped that involved all kinds of sexual things in the middle of worship. Can you imagine? Those had to be just mega churches packed with people, weren't they? With that kind of stuff that's going on. Some of you are laughing. Some of you are offended. Hang on. We'll all be offended before the night's over. I mean, this is Babylon, all right? And so there's wealth in Babylon. I mean, there's prosperity, at least what seems to be prosperity in Babylon. This is this crazy place and they worship all these gods. And what God is saying to the Israelites is be faithful. Don't listen to these lies. There are no other gods. I mean, I think God has made that clear, right? There are no other gods. And He's telling them, here's how I want you to live while you're in Babylon. He didn't say when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians, did He? He didn't say that. He said, I want you to live faithfully right where you're at. In that deepest, darkest place, I want you to be faithful. To be faithful. Why? Why would God carry them into exile? Why would God allow them to spend 70 years in Babylon? You know why? Because if you learn to be faithful in the deepest, darkest place, then you'll be faithful in all places. Now, I want to be really honest with you. Can I be really honest with you? Is that comforting? I'd just rather keep trying over here where it's good, right? Where there's light, you know, where there's a mountaintop. Just let me learn faithfulness over here, God. But that is how serious God is. That's how committed God is to the relationship that He has with us. That He will teach us to be faithful. He will teach us to follow Him. He will teach us to be obedient to Him. He will do that. But then here is the icing on the cake. In verse 11, He says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Did you hear that? Everybody, this is what I did to the kids. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. He says, "I know the plans I have for you." So if you want to leave here tonight discouraged because of the deep, dark place, then I'm going to say it's because you're not listening. I know that that place is tough, but I know this too. It's a season and it will pass. And you'll get to another deep, dark place, right? There's another one coming, all right? So you're going to get out. But He says, "I know the plans that I have for you." Think how powerful that is, that He speaks that over us. I know. I mean, first of all, when you say I know something, right? It's different when God says it. I tell Steve every year about this time, I know Ohio State's going to win it all this year, right? And they never do. But when God says, "I know the plans I have for you," man, how encouraging is that? "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you." Now, prosper has become a negative word, especially in religious circles. Because you turn on the TV or you listen on the radio and you hear some preacher saying, "If you'll just sow a seed of $20 into my ministry, you'll get $100,000 back." And I've yet to meet the person who said, "I got this wealth because I invested $20 over here." Prosperity, when God says, "I know the plans I have for you," plans to prosper you. Think about this. Now, you might get upset at me. If you do, just email me, scarborough@hillview.com. All right. Think about this. Now, I'm being really serious. Think about this. If God is going to prosper you, He is not going to give to you what wealth is to you. Because if God, listen, does God give some people wealth? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Does He give everybody wealth? No, He does not. But here's what He does give all believers: Himself. And when He says, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you," He is talking about the greatest wealth that there is, and that is a relationship with Him. Because let me tell you, if you haven't figured this out by watching TV and reading entertainment magazines, let me just tell you this. If all you have is wealth, you don't have enough to get you through the deep, dark places. Somebody told me a long time ago when I was in high school, I was talking about how rich I was going to be. And one of my Sunday school teachers said, "Now, Jamie Ward, I'm going to tell you something. Money cannot buy you happiness." And I said right back to her, "No, but it can lease it for a while." You know, but what God is going to prosper you with, is going to be what can get you through the deep, dark place. Now, what is a wealth that's greater than that? "I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." God created you. And I remember telling a group of students at a university, and I was just really making the point through Genesis that God created you. And afterwards, there was a kid there, and he said, "Well, that sounds real special." He just created all of us. And I said, but yeah, but Jeremiah 29:11 is the exclamation point on your creation. Not only did he create you, but he has a special and unique plan for your life that involves your relationship with him, that involves how you will live your life, that involves what you will do in your life for the glory of God. I mean, it's a powerful thing. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And then he says this, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Let me just tell you a quick little theology thing here. And you may struggle with this a little bit. But I believe, you've got this verse that says, seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart, right? But isn't there another verse that says that no one seeks God? Yes, there is. There is. Trust me, okay? You can look that up later. Here's the deal. Before you came to know Christ, the only way you could seek God is that God would begin to work on your heart. It was only that God started working in your heart that you had a desire for God. But as a believer, we have the freedom to seek God. And what God says here is, seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I think one of the greatest differences between the church now and the church 50 years ago is we struggle to know what it really means to seek God with all of our heart. When you seek God with all your heart, then that means you're willing to lose things that are precious to you, because they are not more precious than he is. But to seek him with all of our hearts, that's the key. He said it here. Seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We're going to have a time of altar. I'm asking those guys to go ahead and come. And you know, my prayer for us tonight is simply this, is that we would seek him with all of our hearts. I did not tell you tonight, everybody listen, I did not tell you tonight that if you'll seek him with all your heart tonight, you'll get out of that deep, dark place. I didn't say that. You know when you'll get out of the deep, dark place? When God brings you out of it. And I don't have that kind of wisdom tonight to tell you when that time is coming. But I do have the faith to tell you that it is coming. But that we would seek him with all of our hearts tonight. That he would matter above all other things. I was preaching at a church, I won't tell you which one. And I was saying, you know, we've got to understand that God is more important than all the wealth of the world. And the whole church said, amen. I said, we've got to understand that God is more important than our jobs. And everybody said, amen. I said, and we got to understand God is more important than our kids' soccer team. Nothing. Nothing. That we would seek him with all of our hearts. Now, I think our honest confession is tonight, at least mine is, you know, I don't think I can stand here tonight in front of you and tell you that I have sought God with all of my heart. I got these things in my life, and God's working on those things, removing those things out of my life so that I can truly seek him with all of my heart. So I'm going to come to the altar and pray tonight too, but I'm coming to the altar saying, God, help me to seek you with all of my heart. God, help me that you would be supreme, first and foremost in my life. That you, we sing the song, that you would be my everything. God, you get me to that place. That you would be my everything. Some of you are going to come to the altar tonight and you're in that deep, dark place. I want to invite you just to come to the altar. First of all, you won't come to the altar to let God know where you are. He already knows where you are. But you come and saying, God, I am in this place and I'm going to follow you. Maybe following you means that it gets deeper and darker for a while. But I will follow you. I will give this to you. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, that you would be supreme in our lives. Lord, we confess tonight that the smallest, simplest things this world has to offer, we have elevated above you. God, we confess that we haven't looked to you for wisdom, that we haven't looked to you for direction. But God, we've looked to our own ways. We confess tonight, God, that we've been angry at you because of that deep, dark place. We confess that we have blamed it on you, and we've said we're not going to talk to you because of it. We confess that, Lord. So we pray together that you would break our hearts, O God, for the things that break your heart. For the questions we've had for so long that we're still without answers, God, we'll follow you anyway. So break our hearts tonight. Because, Lord, we say this. You know the plans that you have for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. May we let go of all things and hold tightly to you, Lord Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. This altar is open, church. You come.